Hello everyone, this is Marianne Cole. I am an art specialist for early childhood education, and I love to talk about art and young children. And what I'd like to talk about today is how we can nurture creativity in a young child's life so that they feel open and free to come up with new ideas and surprise us with the intelligence that they have within. How do we nurture creativity? Well, it's really quite simple, but we have to be open to emphasizing the process of learning rather than a finished product. And in art, that can be a little confusing, but what we want is to encourage them to enjoy the process of creativity that is discovery, exploration, and looking more deeply on their own without expecting a certain finished product. I know most of us want something that looks good to go home to parents, or to say, oh look, this child is successful. But really, a brown mushy painting that took 45 minutes of combining colors is worth a lot more than a cookie cutter perfect finished product. And actually, a lot of the products will be wonderful. It's just that it's still the process we must value. Therefore, we need to provide a classroom or a place where children are free to explore and encouraged to explore. And we should try to adapt our own thinking to children's ideas. For example, perhaps the art table has cotton balls and glue today, and someone says, but Mrs. Cole, I want to use glitter. Well, I'm going to adapt myself to that child's ideas if it's workable and not too big of a challenge for me, and I can certainly bring out some glitter. And the other thing that's maybe a little more challenging is to accept unusual ideas from children. That can be a whole nother experience in our teaching lives, but one that can bring us great satisfaction as well as humor. An unusual idea, and I'm thinking of one little boy in particular. Most recently, we were working on dough together, dough that could be baked and eaten. But the dough was being generally rolled out into snaky little shapes, and everyone was combining those shapes to make different animals or letters or just shapes. And this one little boy said that he had an unusual idea. He didn't express it that way. But what he wanted to do was build a rocket ship with dough. Now, that was going to be a challenge. I thought he meant just a nice little rocket ship that we could bake. No, he wanted to build a real rocket ship with dough. And that was one of those times that I wanted to accept his idea, but it really wasn't possible in our own classroom. And so what we did was talk about how we could build a rocket sculpture on a more miniature scale. And he was allowed to do that. So he was satisfied to a certain point, and his idea for creativity had been accepted. I think what we tend to find out is that everyone, especially children who are just beginning their journey through life, everyone is creative. Some people more so than others. Some are afraid to show their creativity, and others are blossoming with it constantly. But what is creativity, really? It's just that tendency to play with ideas, to think of possibilities, to think of implications of an idea and how it might be twisted or tweaked into something new. And some children are truly divergent thinkers. They're always looking for variety and originality in their day. That can be difficult at times for us to deal with, but we try. Creativity is also just that spirit of wonder and magic, that openness for curiosity and exploration, kind of that adventuresome spirit. And we know children, for the most part, have this. If they don't, there's often a reason that they keep it under wraps. And it's our job as good educators to help them bring it out. And art is a perfect place to do that. One of the areas I think people want to kind of clarify just what is process art compared to what maybe they're doing already. Let's think about art itself. True process art has no planned product. There's no sample that a child is copying that an adult has made. It's more spontaneous, although the materials may be provided at the table, but the outcome is spontaneous. It's open-ended. And I think the comparison, let's use the word crafts. That's a very common word for the artsy-cutesy kinds of things that children do in their classrooms. Kraft has a plant product. Crafts would be something that an adult has made, and often the children copy it. Perhaps the adult has even cut out pieces, and they will be assembled in a certain way. Yes, many of the art and crafty ideas will be somewhat different from one another, but in general, they follow what the adult is expecting for a finished outcome. It follows definite steps, and I guess you could say it's closed-ended. Personally, I love crafts. I often call them artsy cuties, and I think they have a place. But what really teaches children to think and trust their own imaginations, their own ideas, find ways through to solve problems, is art, true process art. So let's say we would, in a classroom curriculum, for young children, I would expect to see maybe 20% crafts and maybe 80% art. The crafts might be just something that are for special holidays or gifts, that type of thing. But art, process art, is the gist and the majority of the program. Another point that's kind of interesting to make, because often parents are quite concerned about some of the types of process art things that they see because they aren't cookie cutter perfect. And I like to tell parents that process art is a way of learning from the inside out. Rather than copying someone else's thinking, we're asking the children to think for themselves. We're asking them to experiment, to explore, to discover, and little by little to refine their skills. And in the long run, isn't that the kind of citizen or person in society that we would like to have? Someone who can think and solve problems, not someone who waits to be told what to do. Art is one of those last frontiers in a classroom where children can really explore and think. Now here are some quotes that I think ring true. Here's Matisse, a great artist. He said, "I don't paint things. I paint the difference between things." That's something to really think about. Another famous artist, Kandinsky, "There is no must in art because art is free." I really agree with Kandinsky. And here's one that I often tell parents that they find surprising. Rhoda Kellogg, who wrote Analyzing Children's Art, she said, "My observation of children shows that the child who has frequent opportunity to draw without adult interference learns faster in all academic areas." So if you are someone who's a little bit sketchy about all this, sketchy being an art term, put blank paper and crayons out, and you have achieved the top of the pile as far as great art experiences for children. Nothing fancy, nothing scary. So creating and drawing on a blank piece of paper will help that child, the frequent opportunity to draw without adult interference, they will learn faster in other areas of learning. And I think that's really something important. And I'm sure you've heard the Picasso quote who said, "Every child is an artist. The problem is how to remain an artist once we grow up." I think we all know that feeling. So what is the adult's role when we're doing process art with children? You can be involved, you can help with materials, and it's really important to, this may sound a little bit strict, but keep hands off children's work. And by that I mean, don't draw anything on their work for them, don't change what they're making, and don't write across it with a big pen. Perhaps if they want to do some dictation, it's something that could be attached to the artwork or on the or even on the back of it. Even their name is something that they can write on. And if they can't, if you do write it very small somewhere in the artwork on the corner that it doesn't really interfere with the artwork. And biggest of all, and so hard for all of us, and I'm right there with you, is avoid making models or samples for the children to copy. It's so tempting. We want them to have successful outcomes. But really, as soon as we show them how we want something to look, their thoughts change. They begin to copy rather than think. So start wherever you are and do the best you can. When talking with children about their artwork, one of the most important things to do is to never assume that you know what you're looking at. that you know what the actual theme or object is of that child's drawing. I always suggest that you say, tell me about your drawing, or make some comment such as, I see you've used bright red, rather than, is that a horse? Or, I've never seen a red horse. It's just better to open up a conversation with the child and let them self-evaluate their own artwork. In other words, ask them what they like about their work, or ask what made them think of doing yellow swirls, and how did they do it? Was that with a brush or with their finger? That kind of thing. You get into a nice conversation about the art. I have a personal experience with having guessed a child's artwork and telling him how much I loved his green truck. He turned and headed for the trash and stuffed it in the trash and wouldn't speak to me for a while. It turned out that it had been a dinosaur, and I was completely off base. So I learned the sad way about never second-guessing what those artworks might be. You know, I did a little thing not too long ago where I talked to some older children about art. I was curious about how their lives from preschool and before that until age third grade and fifth grade, how art was still going for them and what they thought about it. One little girl named Olivia once told me, she said, school is fun and I like to work hard. I have fun with my friends. I like learning about horses. I like to make reports. But what I want to tell you is that art is my heart. When I do art, my heart feels warm. My mind flies away. Sometimes I don't like how my picture turns out, but I always love art. Now, isn't that something to have talked to? Olivia was 9 years old when she gave me that quote. And I thought it was pretty astounding. Another little boy that I talked to that was a very quiet little boy, and I went up to him while he was painting, just free painting on white paper with his little watercolors, and I said, hey, how are you doing? I like what you're making. Tell me about it. And he looked, just continued to look at his artwork, and he said, did you know that my mom died? She died in kindergarten. She was sick. Now, I didn't know this little boy well. I was in a friend's classroom. So I wasn't quite sure, you know, emotionally where he stood. And I said, oh, no, I didn't know that. Tell me about painting. And he continued to talk. He said, I like to be quiet. I'm not shy, and kids always say that. Why are they always talking, talking, talking? I miss my mom. Like, every day I miss her. I like painting. I think about painting when I paint. And then he said this in the conversation. Lots of times my mom tells me I'm good at painting. She likes my paintings a lot. Painting is what I like best. And I tell you, that told me art is important. There's always a place and a reason that art is important. I always think of art almost as a language for the child without words, or even a child who has a lot of words. A painting or a sculpture or a collage can say so much more. I also think about the skills that a child can gain through process art. Now, we can teach a child that you dip a cotton ball in a little bowl of glue and stick it on a paper and tell them exactly how to do it, or we can let them try it out on their own and find out what too much glue or not enough glue will do. It doesn't take long for them to learn on their own, and we're the handy guides who stand by to help. Instead of saying, this is how you dip a cotton ball in glue, because really, is there only one way? We let them find out a little bit on their own first. I was thinking about process art again and some of the words that kind of go with process art. I have to say fun is one of them. But again, even more important is respect. It's the respect we feel and show for the child's art. Discovery, exploration, trial and error, and I think tip-top important, maybe for me at least, is that we're encouraging learning and we're allowing learning by the permission we give for kids to try. So a lot of people say, but they're going to make a lot of mistakes. And I just say, well, are they making mistakes or are they learning from experience? Trial and error kind of works for me a lot better. Yes, they are going to make mistakes, but don't we all? And a chance to talk with the child about what are you going to do next time. If they're unhappy with how it turned out, you say, well, what would you change? What do you need? Can I help you with anything? And that's where we come in. I wish I had time to tell you all my favorite art experience ideas. I will tell you that on my website, there are many free ideas from all of my books, and that is www.brightring.com. That's bright like the sun and ring like a wedding ring, brightring.com. Please go there and help yourself to all the free ideas that you can find. You're very welcome to them. And as well, there are many ideas that I send out in a monthly free newsletter. And on my website, you can sign up for that. It's absolutely free. The sign-up is down in the right-hand corner of the home page. And you will receive a free newsletter every month filled with ideas for art and process art and a few crafts as well. So you might enjoy doing that. I love sending the newsletter. In fact, just sent out the February one, and I'd be happy to send it to you too. My email is Maryann, M-A-R-Y-A-N-N, at brightring.com. So do email me if you'd like a copy of that recent newsletter. And to finish up, I wanted to encourage you to enjoy yourselves during art. Perhaps you'd like to just sit at the table and create right alongside the children. They really do enjoy that. They tend to look over to see what you're doing, and they might want a copy, but it's okay. I think sometimes it's just a lot of fun to be together. One of my all-time favorite art ideas I wanted to share with you is one that I've been enjoying lately. Everywhere I go, it is such a hit, I can't stop doing it. I seem to do this. I'll get on a kick of a favorite idea, and I'll just do it for months and months until I'm tired of it. And I'm not tired of this one yet. What you need is what we call play clay. It's the soft clay that doesn't harden, and it comes in lots of colors. I was just in Joanne's craft store the other day, and I noticed they had the Crayola brand, and they have some other brands. It's near the Sculpey and Fimo, but it isn't that. It's very inexpensive. And the kids just take a little pinch of that colored play clay and then smear it on paper, almost like finger painting. They smear it with a thumb or a finger or even the heel of their hand. Then they add another color into it, and they smear that in, and they say smoosh. They call it clay smooshing, which I love, and that's what it is. But little pinches work great, little smooshes and smears, and once they get the hang of that, they usually want another piece of paper to maybe actually try to design a certain thing, like a heart or maybe some flowers or undersea fish and seaweed. But oftentimes they just want to experiment with how the materials behave. And I promise you, you will love that project. I have really good luck doing that on white paper plates, you know, the really thin white paper plates. So that's a good suggestion and an inexpensive way to go. Another really favorite art idea that is always a hit, and I don't know if you have access to this or not, I'll just share it with you, are the what I call electric melting trays. They used to be for a buffet table or something to keep casseroles warm, and they only just turn up to warm. So the kids can wear little gloves if that makes you feel better about keeping their hands protected, although really the heat is minimal. Put a piece of paper on the warming tray. It's usually at least 8.5 by 11 in size, usually double that. And then they draw with old crayons with the paper peeled off. And the crayons melt as they're sliding the crayon back and forth over the warm paper. Little by little it just melts and the paper becomes translucent with the wax. It's so beautiful and so satisfying. Oh, and that smell of melted crayon is something everyone loves. So if you have access to those, that's wonderful. I find them at thrift stores. They're usually a dollar or two, and they're just amazingly wonderful. But remember, the best thing you can do with kids is plain paper and crayons. So never feel that you're not creative enough if that's all you're offering. You can do that every day, and it's the best thing you can do. Now as I'm finishing up, I'd love to offer a free giveaway book, and I'm offering a book called Mudworks Bilingual Edition. I hope you enjoyed our little talk today. I certainly did. Please come to my website, brightring.com, and I'll see you soon.